So, you just heard music from Charnette Moffett from his most recent release, though he released two records in 2013. What you heard was a song called Bassland. It's from the album Spirit of Sound. You are hearing it right now on KPFK 90.7 FM in Melting Pot. And right now, we actually have the man himself, Charnette Moffett, here in our studios. How are you doing, man?
Very well, Michael. Thanks for having me.
It is truly an honor to have you here in our studios. I say this in all sincerity that I think you are the single most dynamic bass player walking the earth right now. It's really, truly an honor to have you here. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here at KPFK, and I'm glad to meet such a wonderful staff, and I'm always thankful and always interested in making new music.
And we're going to talk about certainly this particular record, the most recent one, Spirit of Sound, a variety of different things that I also wanted to talk with you about. And you're also here. You have two basses that are here. It looks like a fretless and a piccolo bass. So we're also going to have you perform at various times during the interview too, which I'm massively excited about. I wanted to start, though, just talking. One of the things that's incredibly fascinating about you is the family that you were raised in, the family environment, and how you come from and have created a family of musicians. And I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about growing up in the Moffett family.
Certainly. Growing up in the Moffett family, Michael, was an extraordinary experience because I did my first tour in 1975 in the Far East at 8 years of age.
That still just trips me out.
Yeah. So once you're in a situation like that, you can only look forward. 8 years later, just to kind of speed up things, I got was privileged to work with the great Wynton Marsalis. I was studying in Juilliard School with Homer Mensch. Hmm. And then I did that for about 2.5 years. Put my first record out at 19, Net Man, on Blue Note Records. And here we are almost 30 years later in the business. And I'm privileged to have just released my 14th solo recording, Spirit of Sound. As you mentioned before, I put out two CDs this year, both on Motema Music, The Bridge, which is a solo bass works recording. I was just in Montreal promoting that album, and actually I did a concert in Bremen as well, two solo concerts. Mm-hmm. And I'm here in Los Angeles, as you know, promoting The Spirit of Sound, performing at Catalina's here and playing the music of Spirit of Sound. And it's just a great honor to come from a legacy of the family history, doing the music that you truly love growing up in the American art form of jazz.
Yeah. How did you settle on bass? I mean, at seven, when did you start playing bass, actually?
Well, actually, in the Moffett family, we all start out on drums. My father,
Charles. That would make sense, yeah.
My father being Charles Moffett, composer, drummer, vibraphonist, and also vocalist. His album Savoy, The Gift, you can get some of those demonstrations from early Charles Moffett. Mm-hmm. Of course, named after my dad and the great Ornette Coleman. They were childhood friends in Fort Worth, Texas. So yeah, That's how you get to Charles and Ornette Charnette. I'm sure everyone knows the story by now. But, you know, the family had a family band. I'm the youngest of five. And it seems like there was a room open for the bass chair. So I got this half-size bass that was brought home to me one day. And I just had a natural liking to the instrument. The bass is a very powerful instrument. It's the foundation, whether it's in the symphony orchestra, whether it's in the jazz group, whether it's in the big band, or it doesn't matter the style of the music. It's the foundation. Everything is built on the bass. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned before, I started out as a drummer. And then I eventually moved to trumpet, which was my second instrument, which gave me my love for the piccolo bass. You'll probably hear a track a little later from the album that features the piccolo bass, as well as things on the fretless bass. So the first track you heard, Bassland, actually featured the stand-up acoustic bass. Mm-hmm. And it's just been a joy to do music all these years and to do it sincerely and to keep looking for new ways to create. So in the Moffett family, that's what the whole concept was about. It was about finding your voice, the freedom that you were allowed to have, but also having the proper technique that one has to aspire to develop to so that they can have the discipline to tell their story correctly.
Hmm. Do you think that growing up within that kind of family and performing at a very young age, that helped you to find your distinctive voice on the bass, as opposed to maybe the traditional kind of way that a lot of musicians kind of do the work?
Well, everyone comes into music quite differently based on their own experiences. Mm-hmm. There isn't any really one particular way to do so. As you know, when you're making music, the first thing that's created is actually the sound, the idea. So then once that's written down, then that becomes a composition. So we make sounds all the time, and we hum along with melodies, but we may not necessarily know what note we're singing or what key we're in or things of that nature. So the music starts from the spirit inside of our soul. And then it's given to the listener outwardly. And that's the vibrations that they hear from the sounds that they can't see, but they can feel. Mm. So basically, some people learn piano with the Suzuki method. Some people learn jazz from listening to records and play by ear. Some people learn just only learning how to read music. So regardless of what the formula is that one aspires to get their education within learning the concepts of music, what's most important is that as they continue to learn, they can combine all of these different possibilities together to find a way that's comfortable for them to express music on the highest level that comes from their heart.
On this record, Spirit of Sound, and elsewhere throughout your career, you know, one of the things that I really appreciate about your work as a bassist is that you play many different basses and don't have kind of a single sound. It's you have many different voices in some ways by playing the different types of bass. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about that, just the kind of choice between the kind of standard upright kind of double bass or the piccolo bass and also the fretless or fretted bass that you also play.
A lot of times it just happens very organically. It's not anything that's really contrived depending on what instrument I happen to be practicing today or playing, or if I'm walking down the street, or I could be putting gas in the car and there'll be a melody that'll pop in my head and I'll try it on one of the instruments, and if it feels natural for that instrument, then that is the instrument best to use the tool to express that idea. So they're all just tools to express the idea. They're like, they don't have their own little programs.
Okay, so why don't we actually hear a little bit of that from this new record, Spirit of Sound. Why don't we play one of the tracks, Opera. This is one of the tracks where you're actually playing multiple basses. And so I'm going to play this right now. We're going to talk about this particular track and also continue the conversation with Charnette Moffett, and you're going to hear him perform on bass as well. But right now, here is a song from the album Spirit of Sound. The name of the song is Opera, and you're hearing it right now on KPFK 90.7 FM and Melting Pot.
Thank you.
Music from Charnette Moffett here on KPFK. This comes from his most recent record, which is entitled Spirit of Sound. The song that you heard right there is entitled Opera and is very much a family affair, this particular song. This is actually just a song with just the Moffett family in some ways, this particular one.
That is true, Michael. And it also features the acoustic bass in a supporting role with the fretless bass carrying the lead, supported by the vocalese of my daughter, Amaria Moffett.
And Angela Moffett also on this track, and Max Moffett as well.
Right, Angela's the queen and Max is the prince.
This record has a lot, you know, we were just a moment ago talking about kind of the different sound, kind of choosing the different sounds, or how you found, you know, kind of way to the different types of basses and kind of choices that you make with that. Here's a song that, like, maybe about a little better than half of the songs on this record feature multiple basses.
They do. Yeah. I think the one that's most involved would actually be Blues Walk Groove, because you get all three basses on that one.
Mm-hmm. And you couldn't, I would imagine, even, you know, your hands are exceptionally fast, but I can't imagine you actually, you know, playing the fretless bass and the acoustic bass kind of simultaneously, like a bass playing Rahsaan Roland Kirk or something like that. So was there overdubbing with these particular tracks?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
The first track you heard, Bassland, there was no overdubbing for that track.
That in and of itself, you told me that off air, and you saw the reaction on my face. Like, I just kind of freaked out, because I with all the overdubbing with all these other tracks where there are multiple basses, I just thought it had to be the case. And it just another kind of example of just the incredible virtuosity of Charnette Moffett. So this particular track, Opera, we were just playing, and many of the other tracks, again, they have the multiple of the basses kind of overdubbed. How when you're talking about the voices and kind of the sounds and how the sounds kind of appeal to you, how do you make those kinds of choices when you have the multiple basses within the same track?
Well, it's the same principle as the soprano, alto, tenor, and the bass. So whoever has the lead is playing the soprano part, and who's playing the counter could it be the alto, the tenor, and the bass is the support and the harmony. The tambour is an Indian classical drone instrument. So the way that instrument is tuned and the overtones that it rings allows you to expand on the harmonic possibilities, because it's a string instrument and it matches up perfectly with the bass as a support role. Mm. So because I like to express myself as a soloist, it's nice to have another supporting instrument holding down a foundation that allows me to expand the instrument from its normal position and just think about the creative message that I want to share.
And in mentioning the tambour, it's one of the things that certainly comes through in Opera, which you guys just heard, is a very strong Eastern influence throughout Spirit of Sound. Could you talk a little bit more about that?
Oh, absolutely. That goes back to what we had spoke about earlier, my first tour being in the Far East with the Moffett Family Band. That one consists of course, my dad, Charles Moffett Family Band, with my siblings, Charles Moffett Jr., Mondre Moffett on trumpet, Cordero Cody Moffett on drums. That was the original Moffett Family Band. And we also had another bassist at that time that was primarily playing the positions, and I was adding some creative ideas there as a youngster. but being exposed to the Eastern sounds, Michael, very early in my life is something that has always felt very natural to me. So I've been fortunate enough to maintain that consistency throughout a course of my career. Mm-hmm. And I have a great appreciation for world music. As you know, this album is pretty much collected in that style of diversity. Big Ravi Shankar fan, but I love Jimi Hendrix as well. So I'm always trying to find the balance there with those two things, as well as, of course, being a great jazz fan and enjoying all kinds of music, classical music, whatever that style may be. But more importantly, music is a universal language, and there's only 12 notes that we use as a key to express the theme or the melody. So, but what a lot of people don't realize who are not musicians, they don't realize that the same Frank Sinatra, Bob Marley, Pavarotti, Mozart, they're all using the same 12 notes diatonically. Even in the Eastern music, although they have quarter tone notes, it's either just a half step or a quarter tone sharp or flat, but primarily it's a basis from the 12 notes in the diatonic system. So it's like the alphabet. We know we have 26 letters in the alphabet to express the words in the English language. We have the 12 notes in music to express the different styles of music. So when we get into the science of music, the language and the system allows us to expand on the creative idea and not worry about what kind of music it is, but the feeling of the music and how we're sharing the information to bring people together through harmony and as a whole and in unison, in unity, through melody and rhythm and joy. And that's what it's about. That's why we play music, to be able to cultivate the thought process of the mind. Music is also can be used for many different things, for healing purposes. It's not just about put a song out, get it on the radio, see how many records you can sell like McDonald's hamburgers and make billions and billions and billions. Of course, if you do that, I guess there can be some very positive advantages of that happening, of course. But my primary reason for making music is for the spirit, and that's what this album is about, Spirit of Sound.
Yeah, that's what I was going to... What struck me as you were saying that is a perfect encapsulation of what the record itself, the themes throughout the various songs, and what it seems to be a part of the Spirit of Sound as it's titled. Now, on that track and the earlier track, we've heard you on from the record playing acoustic upright bass and fretless electric bass. And you've brought the piccolo bass with you, and I'm wondering if we could have you perform here for us right now on that piccolo bass.
Absolutely.
Okay, so we're now going to hear Charnette Moffett here in our studios actually performing live for you right now on KPFK and Melting Pot.
This is Spirit of Sound, piccolo bass solo. Thank you.
You just heard Charnett Moffett performing here in our studios, live in our studios, here at KPFK 90.7 FM. Now, that was, you know, just you performing here solo bass on the piccolo bass. There, aside from Bassland, there really isn't another song on Spirit of Sound where you play solo, though you did have the record also came out just before, or fairly, yeah, pretty much actually just before, just a few months before this record came out, which was all solo bass.
The Bridge.
Yeah, The Bridge. These two records, they both seem really like very personal records, but they seem personal for very different reasons. It seems like The Bridge is more, in some ways, some of the tracks on there seem to be paying tribute to inspirations that you've had. But with Spirit of Sound, certainly the inclusion of all the various family members on all of these different tracks gives it a really different personal feeling. And I suppose maybe all recordings are personal in a way, but these two in particular seem to be a little bit more personal, maybe. What do you think?
It's very apropos. Of course they are. And it's amazing because on The Bridge, subtitle Solo Bass Works, is a tribute to the things that I've humbly have been able to be thankful for over a course of a career of a lifetime. The first song on that CD is Caravan, which is made popular by Duke Ellington. That was my feature when I played with the Manhattan Jazz Quintet, a band that was very popular over in Asia, and I worked with them for 25 years as a supporting artist. Also, you have other songs on there like Haitian Fight Song, which is a country respect to the great Charles Mingus, who I met and had a very interesting way of encouraging me to keep playing bass. Also, Black Codes from my years with Wynton Marsalis, 2.5 years, which is actually a Grammy Award-winning record. And I had a great producer that I'm currently working with, Marianne Topper, who gave me inspiration to do a collaboration piece with Adele's Rolling in the Deep with Joshua Fought the Battle in Jericho. This was inspired based on the blues element. So The Bridge, this album is a personal album, and it's kind of a tribute. Well, it is a tribute to all of the great masters that I've worked with. There's the great Tony Williams song on there, The Slump, during my stint with Tony Williams. There's also influences from Ornette Coleman's Swinging Etude, which is I spent 10 years working with Ornette. So there's also a lot of standards on there, as well as original compositions. Spirit of Sound is mostly all original music. So it's all of my music, so it's more of a personal in that respect and in the lineage of the tradition of how I grew up into the music. But The Bridge is very personal in the tradition, giving respect to all those great artists that I work with. Also, McCoy Tyner's Walk Spirit, Talk Spirit is on the album that I spent 6 years with over a course of time. As a tribute to all the great masters that I've learned from that inspired me to evolve to the level of developing my personal voice on a recording like Spirit of Sound.
And it comes through, even for those of you who may not have known much about Charnett's music, but hopefully knew quite a bit about jazz, it comes through in you telling the story about how all these different inspirations and the kind of personal connections that you've had, people you played with, and all. I mean, when you look at the kind of discography that you've built up over these 30 plus years performing, it's a completely outrageous list of people. And one, in thinking about the differences between these two records, one thing I was really interested, because you've this is now like 14 records as a leader, your own solo records together, sometimes with family, sometimes with other people, but as a leader, kind of your vision. But then all these records, I don't know, I was trying to figure out how many records you've played on. It seems like you played on like 150, 200 records or something like that.
I don't really know, actually, to tell you the truth, but I'm thankful.
Yeah.
And I'm thankful for all of the musicians and artists that I've worked with, as well as my current team at Motema Music, my producer, Marianne Topper, making all these things happening. Jana Herzen has been a major part of my success here at Motema Music, the CEO of the company. As a matter of fact, she's on the Swing Raga piece, which actually features the piccolo bass as well. So it goes back to my original concept about the same 12 notes. The same 12 notes are being utilized to make all of these recordings, whether it's 150, 200, whatever the number is. And once you're into the art and the science of the music and how it is utilized in a way to uplift the spirits of humanity, then that is the goal of that's rewarding, when you know that you can give a bright light to help people get by in their day a little easier through the sound of music.
Yeah. When you have all this experience as a leader and a collaborator, is there a different way that you approach, you know, making music when it's kind of under your name and more directly, I guess, in some ways, your sound, versus when you are performing as a part of somebody else's band?
Well, of course it is. When you're writing your own story, you get to tell the story. When you're a character in someone else's story, you want to make sure you execute their story correctly.
Mm. Is there? It would seem like you would have greater freedom as an artist with the music that is recorded under your name as a leader. But I'm wondering if there's also a kind of sense of freedom when it's kind of not fully your responsibility in some ways, you know, like it's not your music. You're within this kind of space and people are kind of asking you to bring kind of your talents to it.
Well, there's less responsibilities, but there's change that always happens in one's lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And if one is not willing to keep an open mind for change in a positive light, then they cannot possibly evolve.
Mm-hmm.
So, our whole existence as human beings, from the time we're born to the time hopefully we become old, we go through changes. We're the same person spiritually, but our physical changes, right? Think about when you were a young kid, you know, you were learning how to walk, then you learn how to talk, then you learn how to read and write, and then you know, were playing sports or something, and then you realize you had to get serious in life. You went through puberty. You went through all that thing. And now you're a young adult. You're legal enough to go into a bar and have a beer. And then the next thing you know, okay, you've done that phase, okay? Now you're hopefully, you're now in your university studies. You're trying to set your life up. We're constantly changing. Now some people start a family. Some people do not. So we're constantly changing. We're constantly evolving. Even if we're by ourselves, there's always a change that is taking place. So through the change, it's natural to get closer to find out who you really are and what are you about and what is your purpose here in life and where are we from and what is the meaning, what is the value of what we're doing, you know. one thing that's for sure as human beings is that no matter who we are and where we come from and our different experiences, we all have to deal with change. So the best thing that we can do is to deal with change in the way that it makes sense for us to be ourselves and to impact others in a positive light that will help them so that we can have more unity as human beings.
Such a beautiful sentiment. And even before you started saying that, I was already thinking of the next song that we would play from the record, and it seems the perfect time to play what is, I believe, the shortest piece on here, but it's still a very potent piece featuring some of the words from E.E. Cummings. It's called Seeker of Truth, which I thought would be just right for this moment. So we're going to go ahead and play another song from Charnette Moffett's latest release, Spirit of Sound. This one also fully a Moffett family production. Seeker of Truth is the name of it that you're hearing right now on KPFK and Melting Pot. So you just heard Seeker of Truth right now on KPFK Melting Pot, here in the middle of our interview with Charnette Moffett and talking specifically about this record, Spirit of Sound, that it released on Motema Music just last year. This particular song is one of the many that features only family members from the Moffett family. Charnette Moffett on fretless electric bass, Angela Moffett on the spoken word, the words originally from E.E. Cummings. Angela Moffett also performing tambura on that track. And then Max Moffett as well on the drums for this particular song, Seeker of Truth. This is one of two songs on this record that feature music that is composed by you, but words that are written by others. E.E. Cummings in the case of Seeker of Truth, and on another track, Hope, there are words from Emily Dickinson. Why did you choose to bring these particular words into these songs?
Well, it's about the message. Hope is a beautiful thing, and truth is reality. So it can't get any simpler than that, and we have to find our own truth, and we all need to keep hope.
Very, very, very nicely said. It would seem like the ability to work directly with your family from the very, very, very beginning with the first Moffett family record in 75 when you were like 8 years old to this record, which is, again, your immediate family. And friends who also find their way into the other tracks. It seems like that ability, which is certainly not an ability that a lot of musicians really have, to be surrounded by family on their recordings when they have the opportunity to record with them. But it seems like that would be something that would really help to kind of maintain a lot of the feelings that you would want to get through in your music.
Now, that is absolutely true. Also, I want to give respect to the great Babatunde Lee, who's also percussion, the great percussionist on this album, Spirit of Sound. And I knew Babatunde Lee during my years living in the Bay Area. during that time with the first Moffat family band when I was a youngster. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like full circle with the family affair with friends included. When you're working on music, you have to put time into it. And there's no substitute for rehearsing. So sometimes it's a little bit easier to work with people who are right there that you're developing the music with and evolving and going through life situations with. That allows you to keep in sincerity always in the voice of the sound that's honest. Many of my other recordings, it was very difficult scheduling-wise, but it can always be done. It's no problem. But most important is to hire the musicians that have the sound that you're looking for. And every project is different. You're not always going to hire the same musicians. I have many records out, as you know, and I've used all different kinds of artists on them. At this point of my career, it was a privilege and an honor to work with the family. And I'm very excited about my next project because I have a lot of new ideas for that. And the list is getting longer of musicians that I would like to participate on that one. So we'll just have to wait and see. But for right now, I'm enjoying the moment of Solo Bass Works, The Bridge, promoting that in the solo capacity, which is an entirely different way of playing music as it is with an ensemble, mm-hmm. as well as having the opportunity here in Los Angeles that I'm thankful for to return to Catalina's, I should say, mm-hmm. which is a wonderful place. Great people there, and they've always been a great supporter of the music. I've played there many, many times with many fabulous artists, and I'm always honored to be in Los Angeles playing creative music for L.A., California.
Would it be possible for us to get you to play a bit more creative music for the people here in California? Which is, you know, this is the thing, you know, while you're here, you know, we're recording this, but you're here performing at Catalina's with a trio, Spirit of Sound Trio, primarily focused on that music. And I imagine, you know, some solo work while that's going on, but here in the studio, it's just you. And so we just have the solo bass. It's kind of bridging between The Bridge and Spirit of Sound, having you in the studio today. Is there any way we could get you to play some more for us?
Sure, I would love to. I'll try something on the fretless bass here.
All right. Just to let you know, we've been talking with Charnette Moffett here at KPFK and Melting Pot. We're going to throw it over to him for another song recorded live right here.
Thank you.
Okay, so you just heard Charnette Moffett playing here in our studios, this time on the fretless bass, and performing a song that's actually on this record, Spirit of Sound. The name of the song is Overpass. You know, I actually wanted, just so you can have a kind of understanding of the differences both between this live performance and what's on the record, I wanted actually to go to this song on the record. It's a different experience. So here is the track that Charnette just played for you live here, this one on the record, Overpass, right now from Spirit of Sound, Charnette Moffett on KPFK and Melting Pot.
Thank you.
Okay, so an on-the-spot kind of comparison between the recorded version of Overpass, which you just heard from Charnay Moffett's album Spirit of Sound, and a few moments before that, you heard him performing live here in our studios on Fretless Bass, the same track. Certainly some similarities between them, but also some differences, and kind of spontaneously came to me that it'd be nice to hear the two, especially to get more of a sense of how things change in the moment, how the kind of moment of performance kind of affects a particular song on Charnay.
Yes, it's nothing like jazz.
Now, you're certainly, and we've talked in the way we've talked about it, is thinking of you as a jazz artist, and that is certainly what you are widely regarded as, and everybody kind of sees you that way. But in hearing those sounds, other sounds on this record, many of the different things that you've done during your career, especially all the different collaboration with artists who are not necessarily thought of as jazz artists, I'm really interested in your kind of take on genre, because on the one hand, you're so clearly a jazz artist, but on the other hand, there are so many different things that you do, and the potential that you have for future collaboration with a variety of other kinds of artists who wouldn't be considered jazz artists, I think, is really ripe as well. And so genre is something that we think about a lot as DJs or people who write on music, but I'd really like to get your ideas about, you know, the genre of jazz, or the genre that you feel fit into, or if you even care about genre.
Well, it's important because you have to have a way to market yourself. However, it's most important to make sure you play what you feel.
Mm.
And then let everyone else figure out the category or genre they wish to put it in.
Mm.
Maybe that's not always the best way, but creatively speaking, at least you know you've actually played the music that you're meant to do. So, again, the same 12 notes for making so many different styles of music, when you're intertwining them, sometimes it allows you to create new possibilities within these different parameters. So it's always good to enjoy what you do, simply that. So if it's a ballad or whatever the piece may be, just enjoy it and put your heart into it. There's so many wonderful artists I would like to collaborate with in the future.
Mm.
However, I'm not going to name all of them or any of them at the moment because I have yet to contact them all. But I can tell you they are from different genres.
Yeah.
And as wide as world music to ragas to country western music to grooves, hip-hop beats, and orchestral stuff. So,
is this
it's a work in progress?
Is that related to the upcoming project you kind of mentioned a little bit earlier? These kind of ideas. These ideas seem like really, really, really fresh and new.
They are, but a lot of times you can have one idea, Michael, mm-hmm. and by the time you have an opportunity to express it, you could have changed to maybe two or three other concepts by then.
Mm.
So that's something that we have to be sensitive to with our timeline as creative composers who are constantly writing music and then composing new music within a certain time frame.
Mm.
So there's a delicate balance that one always has to deal with in order to be sensitive to that nature.
Yeah. And you know, when you look at, you're still, especially in jazz terms, like a really young musician, just now in your 40s, but with this very long career of recording, there are, regardless of genre, a lot of artists who have that kind of, you know, 30 plus year career. A lot of times they may get stuck into particular styles or particular sounds. It really is a testament to you, not just your talents, but the approach and the way you see music, that it seems like the way you maintain creativity and inspiration is by continually drawing in these other sounds, new ideas continuously.
Yes, you have to. You have to continue to figure out ways to reinvent yourself that are obviously honest, because people can feel everything nowadays.
Mm, very true.
Absolutely.
This has been such an honor, just hanging out with you like this, Charna. Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, thank you. It's been a real great time. I really enjoyed myself, and it was quite a delight to work with you.
you have no idea. it was just a perfect time. So I cannot fully express how thankful I am for you coming in. Thank you so much for coming in today.
You're welcome. I'd like to thank everyone here at KPFK. It's been a tremendous experience, and I look forward to returning some time in the future. And thank you for supporting live creative music.
Yes, the door is always open for you. It's always open for you. Whenever you're in town, just come on in. All right, so we've been speaking with Charnette Moffitt, who performed for us, and he performed here in Los Angeles at the Catalina Jazz Club. And if you missed that, you really missed something. But you have a chance to still hear this music. We actually have three copies of both of his records. So we have The Bridge as well as Spirit of Sound that we can give away to listeners right now. Call us at 818-985-5735. Number here at KPFK is 818-985-5735. Giving away both of the records that Charnette Moffitt put out last year, the Bridge, which is solo bass work, and then Spirit of Sound, which is the one that we've primarily been talking about. And what we'll close with, actually, is the track Spirit of Sound from the album of the same title, once again from just an amazing, amazing musician and man, Charnette Moffitt, who was our guest today on KPFK and Melting Pot.